As Abby said, my name is Sean McCauley, and I have attended St. John's for almost 32 years, and am a longtime member of the choir. Sometimes I think perhaps too long. You know, every year I ask Betsy Calhoun if it's time to hang it up, and every year she says, "Not yet." Who among us knew she was capable of such fibs? As a choir member safely ensconced in the loft, I am used to being heard and not seen. So standing here is a unique and humbling, or harrowing, experience. For now, I'll be both heard and seen. And for once, I can see more of your faces. I don't see the backs of your heads. But I do have to say, some of you gentlemen are just a little welcome to the club, I say. As Abby said, I grew up on a dairy farm in southern Illinois, about an hour east of St. Louis. And, you know, farm life is driven by nature's cycles. The seasons come, each with its own demands and rewards. Time to sow, time for the crops to grow, time to reap. And then it starts over. And worse, with a dairy farm, there's the twice daily milking of the cows, come rain, shine, water, birthdays, holidays, whatever. Those cows are milked, right? So growing up on a farm and working outdoors, doing all of those chores and tending the crops and baling hay, I learned a lot about nature and life. And boy, was I tan. Very tan, right? So my first visit to St. John's was in February of 1989. I had recently moved to Tallahassee in the fall of 88. And really knew no one here except the co-workers at Moss Brothers. And a lot of us loved Moss Brothers and Gafers. Well. So one time, this co-worker who was a grad student at FSU asked me if I would substitute a couple of weeks at his church. And I was like, sure. I'd sung in a lot of different churches, and I figured I could step in. So I showed up for rehearsal on a Wednesday night and met then music director Roy Johnson and the choir. We rehearsed hymns and anthem, and rehearsal felt good. It felt comfortable. I hadn't sung much since I had moved to Tallahassee. And I reported for duty on the two Sunday mornings that I was scheduled, and when finished, thanked Roy Johnson for letting me sing. He said, "You're not going anywhere. You have a job." Thus, I joined the staff at St. John's, and life has never been the same. Now, having grown up in the Methodist Church, I had no idea what went down in an Episcopal service. Apparently, dating an Episcopalian priest's daughter during college didn't prepare me for that. I had no idea when to stand, when to sit, when to kneel, when to bow, when to face east or west. What are all the prayers and responses? And wait, we do communion every Sunday? What is this? Now, for those of you that attended St. John's for a certain number of years, you'll recall that the altar rail used to be back in front of the altar, and the choir was in stalls on either side of the aisle, right? Right down front, right in front of everybody, where everybody could see everything. Well, this Yankee Methodist had no place to hide. Everyone could see everything that I did or didn't do. Luckily, the folks that I had only just met guided me, sometimes physically, through the service. I, a stranger, I was welcomed by the kind folks around me and made to feel comfortable in my new surroundings. No pressure, no judgment, no expectations, just welcome. And that was my introduction to the Episcopal Church and St. John's. You know, I settled in fairly quickly, thanks to my connection with the music that we sing. That spoke to me from the beginning. I dutifully arrived every Sunday as scheduled. I did learn when to stand and when to sit. I learned the prayers and responses, both right one and two. And I somehow managed to learn not to bang the kneelers during the service. What I didn't learn was to really have faith. Worship was a routine to me, not a ritual devotion. I was performing, entertaining the crowd, as I'd done so many times in concerts and on stage. You know, this went on for several years until I finally realized that while I was participating in worship, I wasn't present in the worship. I hadn't heard the word of God, hadn't listened when it was spoken, hadn't read, marked, learned, and inwardly digested anything. And upon self-inspection, I found myself lacking in faith and with an empty heart. With this realization, the music that had been my connection to St. John's became rather a hollow joy. It was a constant reminder that I was a phony, an imposter. I felt among the people who had greeted me openly so many years earlier. Church was just a job. I showed up, I sang, I went home. And it was this realization that led me to leave St. John's. I left for a while, a few years passed, cycle of life turned, I changed jobs, moved a couple of times, and 7 years after getting married in this church, I found myself newly single and questioning everything about myself. It was in the fall of 2011 when Betsy Calhoun tentatively emailed me to see if I would ever consider coming back to sing in the choir. Now, this is the point I truly believe, truly, that it was at that moment that I heard that still, small voice for the first time. Yes, it said. Without hesitation, I asked what time. And just as in February 1989, I came to that first rehearsal with a stranger and was welcomed by the kind folks around me and made to feel comfortable in my new surroundings. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, St. John's welcomes you. No pressure, no judgment, no expectations, just welcome. And the music was glorious. I believe that moment, that turning point in my life, is one of the reasons I'm so moved by the words of John Greenleaf Whittier. It's in hymn 653, Dear Lord and Father. In simple trust, like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea, the gracious calling of our Lord, let us, like them, without a word, rise up and follow thee. Rise up and follow thee. While it was music that brought me back to St. John's and the church, it's through music that I pray and praise God every single day. I was surprised to find my mind and my heart beginning to open to God's word. Now, if you've never been in the choir loft, you're missing out on a magnificent view of the church. You really should check it out, including these massive timbers that support the roof over the nave. Now, depending on where you're seated up there, those timbers, can block your view of the altar or the pulpit or whatever. You can feel a little isolated, depending. At first, that limited sight line made me feel a little disconnected from the service, but I soon realized that those limited sight lines forced me to listen, not just to watch. I heard about visioning the vineyard, living water, Tsuriyakuba, Invite Welcome Connect, Quito, Peru, a full summer. I heard testimonies by people of all walks of the impact that many local and international outreach programs have had upon their lives. I heard the word of God spoken, preached, and sung. I heard and felt welcome. I watched over time as steadily these steps filled to overflowing with children during the children's homily. I watched this 24/7 downtown church grow not only in size, but as a vibrant center within this community where countless folks, members and non, are nourished in body, heart, and soul. Whether through worship, prayer groups, foyer groups, the lively cafe, concerts, the market, interfaith programs, the list goes on and on. You know, Father Dave once said, this community of kinship should be such that God takes notice. This community of kinship should be such that God takes notice. God is truly at work here in the heart of Tallahassee. And this congregation bears witness to his works in so many ways. You know, from all of this, and from my farm life and ever the cycles that I mentioned earlier, I'm reminded of the parable of the sower. You know, seeds were cast upon four types of soil, you know, hard, rocky, up in the thorns and everything, and it's on the good soil that it caught and grew. This is how I think Jesus expands on the how the good soil is a receptive heart and receives the seed, the word of God. Now, the parable that follows that, that we don't read very often because it's only found in Matthew, it's not in the other gospels, is the parable of the growing seed, or in sometimes it's mentioned as the seed growing in silence. Secret, I think it's secret. But in that one, the sower scatters the seed on the good soil and then goes about his business. There's other things in life to deal with. The earth produces by itself with no interference from the farmer. First the blade, then the ear, then the stalk, then the entire grain growing on the ear. And only when the grain is fully ripe, the sower returns for the harvest. Now, taking the seed as the word of God, we can interpret the growth of the plants as the working of God's word in individual hearts. The fact that the crop grows without the farmer's intervention means that God can accomplish his purposes, even when we are absent or unaware of what he's doing. You know, whether sitting on a tractor in Illinois, sitting here, sitting in the loft amongst the timbers, I and we hear the word, and the word silently grows in our hearts and prepares each in their own time to accept the kingdom of God. So, where am I on my spiritual journey? I'm at St. John's.